Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Let's get this show on the road.
And by the road, we mean...
the phone.
The phone. And by show, we mean...
Hey, listen. I know the last 29 minutes, they can't all be gold. They can't all be gold. You've had some really good ones recently. Rough with the smooth. You dig?
That's our life story, isn't it?
Oh, I turned the heating off now.
What have you done that for?
I'm hot.
Okay. Well, I'm not surprised you're hot. You've been exerting yourself.
We had a Chinese meal for our dinner tonight. Oof. Succulent Chinese meal.
Oh,
nice, wasn't it?
Didn't we, though?
And what was great is because I timed it perfectly. I ordered it 10 minutes after Kath left her house. It arrived here 3 minutes before she arrived here.
Yes.
I was serving up as she came through the door. It was beautiful.
He was just popping a prawn cracker into the old smacker.
It was absolutely spot on. Sweet and sour chicken is my kind of thing, sweet and sour. And maybe it was pork, actually.
It was pork. And then it was chicken chow mein,
then chicken on skewers that were a little bit fatty, but I still enjoyed it.
They're like meat lollies.
The little tiny thingies, what they're called, the chom nao.
The what now?
Chom nao, what's it called? The
spring rolls.
Is it like spring rolls?
Yeah.
Spring rolls.
I'm assuming that's what you're referring to.
Hey, Josh, nice to see you. We had a great moment today, a powerful moment. My youngest, was too young to be on Twitch, got banned from the channel of a streamer that he really likes, and he was so upset. He griefed.
What does grief mean for
it
the grown-ups?
It means he broke the rules of a custom server. So he was in Fortnite, and it was a game where they weren't supposed to kill each other, and he shot someone.
Oof.
Instant perma ban. Thank you, Brewster. Insta perma ban. And he did the unbanning thing, and they replied saying, no, Instaban. And my boy was devastated. And I said, well, you know, listen. And he said that he did it because he was being attacked by someone. I said, okay, well, you should have let them do that, and then you should have gone to the mods and complained. Yeah. He's young. And I said, that's really... He was so upset. It's like that time Peter Talk from the Monkees hung up on me during an interview. It was that kind of thing. It was that upsetting. That happened. And I said, I'm sorry, dude. There's not really anything we can do. Well, I was streaming COD earlier on today.
No, I tell you what, I do need a haircut.
There you go.
Not like that.
I've got an adapter on it, so you can do like a number 12.
I don't want a number 12. I don't want a number anything. I want a proper hairdresser. And I want them to, because I'm growing this fringe out, and it's just, look, it's doing all sorts.
So I was streaming and I saw this guy was on. He's got a lot of followers, but he only had about 360 people watching.
Right.
I thought I could get
noticed. He's banned everyone else.
No, I thought I could get noticed here. So I went in the chat and I wrote and I said, I'm really sorry. You banned my boy. He's devastated. He made a huge mistake. I know this isn't the done thing. Is there any way you would reconsider that? He ignored that. So then I wrote another one saying, I'm really sorry. I'm a streamer too. And I know I get it. And I wouldn't normally do this, but it would mean so much if you just consider it. Mm-hmm. And I saw him looking at the screen. He's playing Fortnite, and then I saw him looking at the screen. And I was at home. You would have seen it on here. I'm going, please, please read it. Please read it. Please read it. Please read it. And he read it.
Yes.
And then he said,
He banned you.
Well, I thought he might ban me. I was prepared for that because it was kind of spamming the chat. And He said, what's your son's name? And I told him. And he unbanned him. Oh, my God. And I phoned my boy up. And I said, I've got some news here. You'd have banned me, Matty, yes. I said, you've been unbanned. And he went, what? Really? I said, you've been unbanned. I said, I went and just had a quick word with him, and he's very kindly unbanned you. And I said, I did write in the chat, I said, if he griefs again, I'm going to ban him for everything, forever. And then my boy went in the chat, and I watched, and he said, thanks for unbanning me. I was gone. And then we did a little raid about 20 minutes later. I thought, well, you know, and I've subscribed to him as a thing. And we went and raided. And then my boy texted me saying, wow, you just raided him. And he's mentioned you again. I said, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's a way of saying, simple way of saying thank you. I was so, he had absolutely no reason to unban him. The rules were broken. However, whatever justification my boy had, the rules were broken. He had no reason to. And I was so grateful. My boy, it was made his day. And, what a thrill.
Meanwhile, at my house, Sorry, are you finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
Sorry,
I'm
don't
done.
Mean to call
no,
you.
No, I'm done.
I know you. It was in a mosh moan.
It was very emotional. I was going to...
Where are you? Meanwhile, at my house, you know, my youngest has started joining me when I do yoga.
Oh,
I was trying to avoid doing it when they were around, but I just thought, well, no, I've got to carry on with my life.
Yes.
Okay, I've given these kids enough. So I have been doing yoga in front of them. It's more to the side of them, to be honest. We're all sharing the same kind of space. They're doing their homeschool and I'm doing my stretches. Anyway, my youngest has taken to joining me for the last part of yoga. She's not daft. She likes to lie down.
Do the whole thing.
Well, today, because I bought her own yoga mat. Am I still echoing?
No.
Today, I bought her own yoga mat, so she started with me today. And in fact, she asked, she went, oh, I've got my own mat now. Can we start? And I went, okay. Well, I started within about two moves. She went, oh, this is a bit hard, actually. I'm just going to stay here for a bit. She was doing
She's only nine.
She's tiny.
She's only nine.
But then she sort of joined in with me from halfway through. I said, this is a little bit tricky, to be honest. I said, this is a bit tricky. I don't really like this one. So I'll tell you when it starts getting easier, right? And then she started joining in with me. And we're all kind of squashed up together anyway. It was like doing yoga next to Mr. Bean. Legs everywhere. What you're doing is actually harder than what you're supposed to be doing, but fair play if you're comfortable with that. And then she totally my moment of zen where you sit at the end and you think, right, I've finished. I'm sitting next to her. She's like baby Yoda sitting next to me. But she makes all these involuntary noises. So, you know, you're there sort of just trying to get just empty your mind. And all I can hear was
She's my style. She's rocking my style.
All the way through it. But it was a joy. It was a joy. And I don't think it was as blissed out as I normally get when I do yoga, but it was fun in a different way. It was so much fun. And just seeing our yoga mats rolled out together, that was really cool.
Was
I really
wicked.
Loved that.
I've called up when she was opening it up and the glee on her face as she... Yeah. Did it? That's great. Doing stuff with your kids is great. Mama said, I thought you wanted to use the banning thing as a learning tool. Yeah, but this still is. This still is a learning. The learning is, you know, the lesson, because someone suggested, oh, well, you know, buy him something to make up for it. I said,
oh,
no, I'm not going to. He has to learn that this happens. Well, he's had 2 days of being upset, and now he's learned grace and forgiveness. He's learned grace and forgiveness. He's also learned humility. He will have learnt about humility because I went in there and I didn't go in there kicking and screaming, go, what the hell have you done? Well, look, I know this isn't how things are done. I'd really appreciate if you consider it. This guy didn't know who I was. He could see I was a streamer. He didn't know who I was. Mm. He doesn't know about the jungle or talk radio or anything like that. No judgment at all. No, I'm not in any way reading it as a judgment. I'm just saying that this is a learning tool as well. There are two sides to this he's learnt now. If you are humble and politely ask, sometimes you get forgiveness. And also he's learned how important it was for him to be forgiven. That's something he's going to carry around. And here's the thing, it's been a learning tool for me as well, because I have seen firsthand how important Twitch is particularly to very, very young people, but I guess you can extrapolate that and put it to slightly different ages. And it has, I am certainly reconsidering, I have, and I'm constantly reconsidering my attitude towards bannings and attitudes towards people that maybe I find irritating in the chat, and maybe younger people in the chat. So it's a learning experience for all of us.
It's that whole, and this is a term I'd never really sort of heard before I came to Twitch, but the parasocial relationship you have with the audience. You know what that means?
No, I don't know.
It means that even though on the main part, in the main part of people's brains, they know that we are not friends.
Yeah.
They call in because they want to hang out with us.
Yeah.
Just for this, you know, 3-4 hours or whatever. And they do...
Hang on a second, Colin.
And they do consider us friendly.
Yeah.
And so people can get quite hurt, you know.
Hang on. Hang on a second, caller. We'll be within a second. Sorry.
People can get quite hurt.
Completely.
And they do feel loyalty. And this kind of, for a lot of people, especially at the moment where the options for going out and socialising are limited, this is their little release. Yeah. This is their sociability in the evenings.
Hello, caller.
Hello. How are you?
What can we do for you?
I'm not too sure. I just saw the number. I think. Are you from the Nico video?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Oh, fair play. You're cool. You're
good guys. You're a fan of Nico's then?
I am a bit. Yeah. I watched that video the other day actually, and I saw your stream. And I was like, oh, say hello. And I saw the number.
He's a good lad. And every now, I did some telly and stuff a while ago. But every now and then, like my kids or my nephew, I'll get a message saying, my friends saw you in the Nico video the other day. So the coolness we get from being
in
that,
I know.
Catherine. I mean, the other lad...
We're only cool by proxy, though, aren't we?
Nico's supposed to be coming on the show. I did text him, and he said he was going to come on at some point.
Oh, well, you've got connections, have you?
Oh, mate, I got his phone number, baby.
Oh, it's all clout around here. You know what it's like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know what the number was for. I thought it was fake.
No, it's my home phone number.
Your home number? Oh,
yep. So only call, please don't call it outside of show hours. If anyone's watching this, it's been really good today. I've only had 3 calls during the day, so please don't call it out.
Are they all abusive?
Oh, really?
One of them was sexually insensitive. Yes, the other two were just people wanting to chat, but I haven't got time. So between 8 and midnight, people can call in. What's your name?
And my name's Lucas.
Hello, Lucas. Well, it's nice to meet you, Lucas. Thank you for calling. Pass this phone number around to friends. Send it to people. Just people. We want people to phone up and just chat with us.
I will, mate. Thank you very much. Sorry I couldn't be more interesting. I didn't really think you'd pick up.
I find you fascinating, Lucas.
Lucas, it was nice to talk to you, mate. Thank you very much. Have a nice evening. Didn't think you'd pick up. That's it.
That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the point.
It's the same thing when I used to ring Going Live. Wasn't that 0181 811 8181?
Oh, I thought it was 8055. That was probably Swap Shop.
Possibly, I was a bit young.
Hello.
Then. Hi, Pete.
Hello, I can barely hear you. I
bet it'll be the setting here that for some reason the setting never takes, and I don't know why. Is that any better?
Can you hear us now?
Oh, that's much better. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, it resets the microphone that I choose every time, and I forget to do it. So thank you, Pete.
You're very welcome.
How can we be of assistance?
I was just thinking about this whole sort of situation, what you were saying about the people in the chat and things like that. And first of all, what does griefing involve?
I'm not totally sure. What I've got from this is it's going against, it's like, I guess it's kind of like trolling within a game, going against the rules of the game. So this was a game where you weren't supposed to shoot each other and my boy shot someone. So that was griefing.
Where would he learn that from?
Well, from a-holes on the internet and probably violent television programs like Doctor Who and Blake Seven. Blake's Edwards. But also, well, the thing I noticed as well is once this very kind streamer unbanned him, loads of people went, what? Hang on, you're unbanning a guy that griefed in a custom game. Are you nuts? People got really, really angry.
Well, because it's a breach of the boundaries that they are all working within.
I was so thrilled. You know, the guy had no reason to do it. I didn't think he was going to do it. I thought he was going to ban me. And he did it. What a nice guy. It made my boy's day. And it's just shifted by a couple of degrees, Pete, the way I look at people who come and join us.
Well, see, this is where I struggle. I mean, not about your chat, but, you know, obviously I have my own chat. And I struggle with the chat quite a lot sometimes.
Tell me, Pete, for those who don't know, Pete does the brilliant channel What's on the Tapes, where he goes through old VHS videotapes that he's bought off eBay or people
and
have sent him.
And he doesn't know what's on them.
And he doesn't know what's on them. And sometimes there's treasures and sometimes there's absolute guff, but actually even that's treasures. But naming no names, no pact, what do you find, what annoys you? What gets on your wick then?
There's a, I mean, most things is probably the correct answer, but there's things in particular, things that aren't really bad. It all just sometimes feels a bit sort of willy-wavy and people have to make sure everybody knows that they know things.
Mm.
I mean, the one that I always use an example in has come up on your stream a few times, the Going for Gold theme tune.
Oh, who wrote that theme tune? Someone famous, wasn't it?
Van Halen.
Hans Zimmer, and it's become one of those things which is kind of a common fact which people feel isn't common.
Right.
And as soon as something Going for Goldie comes on, everybody feels, or, you know, not. But...
see what happens.
Oh, it's a classic. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But yeah, and everyone's like, oh, Hans Zimmer wrote this. It's like, yeah, you don't need to say everything that you know about everything that's happening on screen.
But here's the other thing, Pete. You don't want to be that guy who looks like he's fed up of explaining stuff to people because it might be their first trip to see you. And
yeah.
So they're...
Yeah, totally.
You don't want to be that guy, you know, but I know what you mean.
I didn't know Hans Zimmer wrote it until we watched Going for Gold two months ago.
Well,
I didn't know.
And then we were told it repeatedly.
That's it. It will always be someone's first time seeing that. And yeah, it's a really hard... Because again, there's nothing malicious meant by that. And it's just...
Why does it annoy you? What? Where does that come from?
I honestly don't know. I think I feel like it is partly my perception of it as being.
It comes entirely from you. That, and I'm not. It's just because I've read a couple of chapters in a counselling book about this kind of thing. So I'm not in any way having to go. But it comes
what about Pete.
About Pete, yeah. It comes entirely from you.
I agree. I completely agree there.
And wouldn't it be interesting to know where that came from? Well, no, it's not similar, actually. The thing that I was going to say similar but isn't is on Twitter, is if I say, I need help. I can't convert this to this. Does anyone know how to do it? What annoys me is when people say, have you Googled it?
Or they send you a Google link.
Oh, yeah, I've Googled it. Or some people go, I don't know because I use a different system, but might it be this? You go, I don't. All I want is people who know the answer. I don't want guesses. I've been guessing for an hour. It's not I've just woken up and gone, I wonder how you do that. I'll ask Twitter.
Meanwhile, though, who's clenched in this transaction? It's not the person answering. It's the person anticipating the annoying answers, right?
It's
so it's that thing again of, and I'm always going on about it, but it's because I have to tell myself this all the time, is about can't control other people's behaviour, only your reaction to it. And your reaction to it is on you.
It's true. And I suppose this is where I was coming from in... Sort of, this is what it's prompted me to call because, you know, you're saying about you're getting an understanding of how people sort of need Twitch or, you know, and sort of use Twitch in that way. And it's how do you get the balance? Because, you know, obviously this stuff, you know, whether, you know, I mean, it is entirely coming from me, but it's also stressing me out at the same time. So, you know, where's the media? Where's the sort of line that, you know?
What I try to think about is, someone's behaviour on the chat impeding everybody else's enjoyment? So is it like sitting next to a heckler?
I think that's fair, yeah.
Or is it like, you know, someone coming swinging, looking for a fight? Then we'll get rid. That's being a dick. But it's the enthusiasm that's hard to judge, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know it usually does come from an enthusiast. You know, I mean, amusingly, I saw Sam Law said, you know, don't spread wrong Power Rangers facts, because I got annoyed during stream the other day because again these sort of urban legends that have gone round that a few people obviously thought were true, and I was just like, just don't bring that bullshit. And you know, I got I think I got needlessly annoyed at people saying the Red Ranger went on to do porn. It's like,
and then afterwards,
it was the Blue Ranger that went on to do porn.
Yeah, Blue Natch. But then afterwards, don't you go away feeling a bit sheepish and a bit ashamed of yourself?
Totally, and that's it. Yeah, because as Ian says, it comes from, you know, it comes from me. It's not my fault they heard something that was wrong, and you know, just because I've looked into it, I shouldn't expect everyone else to.
The closest thing I've got, right? I think I need to say it out loud to see if we get somewhere with this. Is the strawberries, right?
Mm.
The strawberries.
Yeah.
So when I stole some strawberries and I'm a celebrity, some of you may or may not know. When I came out, I loved it because I had no idea it had been such a big thing within that world. Within that world. And then very quickly I became very, very tired of it and very pissed off with it and very can't think of anything more original with it.
It was like, you know, the Chuckle Brothers, they must get to me to you, well, not anymore, but to me to you, to me to you.
And then it dawned on me that I had created something really silly and throwaway. I created it for two people. I'd done it for Catherine and for Scott. Those were the two people in my head. But I had created something that, for whatever reason, had become a memorable moment of television that 3 years later people still refer to, right? And I thought, shit, that's amazing. I made that silly, tiny, you know, little dot in the whole scheme of entertainment in the world. I made that little dot and people remember it. I love it. And so when people come in the chat and go, still any strawberry, I'm there for it. I might be having a tired day. I might get a little bit snooty, but generally I'm there.
But you know why they're doing it? They see you and they go, oh, finally I can talk about that thing with the person that did it.
That's part of the reason. I think quite often they'll think they're the only one.
I think that's a lot of what the thing in my chat as well, isn't it? It's things that they know and don't normally get the chance to talk about or to say that they know. And then suddenly something comes up on one of my videos, and they're like, "Ah, oh, finally, this is an audience of people who will understand what I'm talking about." Yeah,
and also don't underestimate, they're there. I really think the streams are, people go to the stream. I go to the streams more for the person who's doing the stream rather than whatever they may be doing. Yeah. You know, I would rather go and see Limmy playing a crap game than, you know, than someone who's crap playing a game that I'm really, really obsessed with. So the people that are in your chat kind of want to show off to you a little bit. If they're waving their willies, they're probably waving them in your direction and saying, hey, look at me. Look at me.
I'm like you.
I'm like you.
Yeah.
Now, next time someone mentions Hans Zimmer, imagine that they're waving their penis in your direction.
And don't slap it away. Give it a little tickle. And thank them for demonstrating.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I didn't know what was going to come here, but
it's a load of penises.
Well, exactly. I thought it was worth discussing out loud anyway.
But we don't always get it right, and we're still working on it. And but it's, you spend a lot of time clenched otherwise, and that's not fun. That's not fun for anyone. It's not fun to watch either. And it's not fun if, you know, you're that person who's just tried to get involved and gets sort of slapped down. I get it.
You know, it's one of those things that can sort of put you off doing a stream sometimes, you know, when it's not your job, you know. It can put you, just go, oh, can I be bothered to deal with that? And you're right. If you work out the way to see it and unclench, then
thank you, Pete.
All right, cheers, guys.
Cheers, mate. Ta-ta. That's a satisfied customer.
Yeah, and then he'll think about what we said and realise it was all bollocks.
Ah, who cares about him?
That'll be in about 10 minutes.
Go and check out Pete's channel if we can get What's on the Tapes link in the chat. That would be great.
Yeah.
Go and have a look. It's like that. Where there was a call last night. If anyone, some of you were here, 700 people. 10 to 9, that's not bad, is it?
Thank you for joining us.
Show. I should do this. The show now starts at 8. Show starts at 8. I made some films to highlight that.
That took ages, that one.
There was a call last night from someone who I'd worked with 21 years ago, and I'd kind of helped out. They were a caller, and then I got them in to be part of the show. And it's a thing I've done a few times that I'm not going to do anymore. It is I've tried to... I did it. I've tried to pass on some of the luck that I have had, particularly 20 years ago in my career, to other people and share it. And I've done it a handful of times and it's never worked out well.
By this guy.
No, you're not the same. I wasn't having any luck, are you? We just met and we realised that we had had some kind of magic.
But you encouraged me in ways that different. But other people hadn't.
Yeah, I was encouragement. But you, but I'm talking about people that had no kind
no
of...
No foot in the door.
No foot in the door. I've done it a few times and it's never worked out well. So I'm probably not going to do it anymore. But we'll get guests on here. It's kind of the way. But I'm not going to... Mentoring is a strong word. But so I don't mean that. But I'll be with you in a second, Paul.
It's almost a protege type relationship.
Yeah, and I've done it a couple of times. It's never worked. So, and this guy last night was how I perceived that. I'm guessing he perceives it differently. And it really upset me, the call last night. And Catherine stayed for quite a long time after the show last night. I just said, I can't get this call out of my head. And there's a couple of things that upset me. One is I got a couple of things wrong. XFM probably did pay him. And I said I paid him. I did pay him later on for something else, but XFM probably did pay him. And there was. I said that he'd written something about me on a forum, and I don't think it was a forum. I think it may have been an email or a text. So I got those two things wrong, and so that was annoying me. I got it wrong, so kind of I was in a slightly weakened position. But also, I couldn't see his point of view, and I didn't want to or didn't need to see his point of view. And what I would wish the way I wish I'd have handled it is saying to him, say what you want to say, get it off your chest. We obviously see things completely differently. I'm sorry that you have this some perceived grudge against me. Mm-hmm. I feel that actually I gave you quite a lot of help, and I can't be responsible for everything else. And I would prefer it if you didn't contact me anymore. I wish I'd handled it like that.
Yeah, to me, it was difficult in that one person was a bottle of wine deep, but also the fact that it was more about, and it's a conversation we have to have, not that regularly, but quite regularly with people where you go, do you know what? This is not going to work for you. You're always going to come away from these interactions feeling worse about yourself. So let's just stop.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we hate you. It doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that it's like if you've got a frenemy, if you've got someone that you see regularly and you realise, why do I always feel like why do I always feel my stomach drop when I know I'm going to go and see them? Or why do I feel like it kicks me a little bit to see them, and afterwards I feel slightly worse about myself. When you realise that that's happening repeatedly, you know that that relationship is never going to work out. Yeah. And that's fine. Do you know what? Because people are different. And you have to accept you can't change people. But also, you shouldn't have to subject yourself to treatment that is either unsatisfactory or abusive.
So I'm not happy how that phone call went from my part last night. I can't be not responsible for how it went the other side. But I'm not happy with how I dealt with things. But I am happy with how I dealt with things 15, 20 years ago. That I am happy with. I know I went above and beyond. It's not seen like that by someone else. And that is...
You're never going to convince him otherwise.
That is absolutely fine. That is absolutely fine. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of learning today. We're going to close the phone lines because I want to go to Zoom.
But we will give you a shout back when we can, Paul, if that's all right.
We'll speak to you after our guest, and then we'll play...
what's it called, that game? That one.
Written by Manfred Mann. I was trying to think of something that sounded like hands, and I come up with Manfred Mann. That's all I could come up with.
Hans?
Hans Gruber. There we go. Written by Hans Gruber. That's who.
New to this too says, didn't someone complain to the BBC recently about Hacker saying cockers because it was inappropriate?
Who's Hacker and who's cockers?
Hacker the dog.
Who's Hacker? Don't know who that is.
He's a dog. He's a dog puppet.
Okay.
But he's northern, so he says cockers. And here's another thing. Don't if you're sensitive like that, don't go to Salford, because cock is a term of endearment. Are you cock?
Oh, dear.
My granddad used to say that to me.
Dear God, do you have to? Let's do. I tell you what. Let's do this. Let's do the spot. Let's get these. 34sp.com. Breaking my baby's heart with your internet sites. I registered a domain for £1. And all my baby and I are doing our fighting over who gets to play on the internet game. Playing Call of Duty now, reggae style.
No. No voices.
34sb.com. If you want a UK domain, get one before they're gone. They'll only be a pound right now. Let my good friend Catherine tell you how. There we go. If you're addicted to drugs or addicted to booze,
booze, booze, booze.
If you like stealing stuff and like having it off with people you don't know, then go to Abbey Care, not for the sex. That's not what I mean. I might have misled you. You might think there's lots of sex and things to steal. There's not. It's a recovery place and it's really good. And if you mention this show here, you get 25% off. You know you do.
You really do. Emphasise enough, there's no nicking or shagging allowed.
No, that's in the T's and C's.
Poseidon Safety Management, they're excellent. Why? Well, let me tell you. Well, no, I'm going to let Ian tell you.
Well, I used to be a bit of a bad boy getting into trouble. Before we had such things as COVID and social bubbles.
Nice!
I used to go around Cornwall selling. Hang on. I started on a C, which is terrible. Cool. Yeah, I used to go around Cornwall selling drugs. And then I go around Cornwall giving hugs because Poseidon saved my life. Poseidon saved my life. Poseidon Safety Management.
They really do.
I don't know how to do it.
You know they do.
There we go.
One more.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
I met a lady. We had a baby. We got married not long ago. Out. Turns out I'm a jerk out. I wanna leave my woman cold. But I got divorced, I didn't kill her, I got divorced. I went and walked out, I went and saw Richard Gregorian. And we got divorced. My woman didn't like my song, said they were shit. I made them up on the spot and it got on her tits. Chords were out of tune. I said, hey, they're a lady. No, they're not. I got divorced. I got divorced with Richard G. Lord Dakota. You got something going anyway. Divorce is a hard thing to do a song about.
Tricky. Apart from that song that's literally called Divorce.
There's not one good divorce song out
there. D-I-V-O. That song.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, can I hear you?
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Hello, we can hear you.
I can hear you and you can hear me.
Can you see us?
I can see you in your fantastic glory. Look
well,
at
thanks,
you.
Thanks for testing Zoom for us, Tom. And we'll see you later on. Bye-bye. Hey,
it's
man.
Good to see you, Tom.
It's nice to see you. Put in touch by Fergal Sharkey, no less. That was a thrill.
I know. It's rare that a member of real rock royalty just steps into a party to introduce you to someone, isn't it?
I just reached out to him because I saw that he was tweeting about what we're going to talk about. And I thought, I don't know him, but I thought this is really interesting. Yeah. Fergal seems like an approachable guy. Sent him a tweet, thinking nothing. And he wrote back going, hey, Ian, how are you? I'm not the right person for this. Tom is. I mean, who's talking? Oh, from Gomez. Bloody hell, what is going on here? This is ridiculous. How are you doing, man? It's nice to see you.
Yeah, it's lovely to see you too. Fergal's a great lad. He's brilliant. Honestly, he's one of those fellas you can just ring up at any point and ask him about anything and he'll have a little...
Have you got Fergal's number in your phone?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What a world. What a world.
What a world.
Have you got Paul McCartney's? Have you ever met Paul McCartney?
I have met Paul McCartney.
Oh!
Hats off, respect. We love Paul. We have Mike McCartney on the other day. We love all of the McCartneys. What do you say? I mean, I've met Ringo once, but it was for an interview, so it was all... What do you say to a Beatle?
I watched a line of people in front. I was at a party and he was at this party. I watched him dance for a while. And then I watched a sort of line of people start to go and get selfies with him. And I was thinking about it. And I was trying to do something for a charity. So I just talked to him about that and asked him if he was interested. We had a little chat about that. I do a lot of advocacy for songwriters and artists and stuff, and have done for a few years. And he just seemed like a really nice fella.
Oh,
you know,
he's obviously
I'm from Southport, so it's not like it's a Merseyside kind of. I went even more Scouse for him, you know.
This is Tom Gray, dear viewer, musician, songwriter, artist, member of the band. Well, I was going to say rock band, but you ain't no Gomez. Ain't no rock band. What? How would you describe Gomez?
Weird monster, a gorgeous little monster.
and because people will think, oh, Gomez, you know, Mercury 20 odd years ago. But of course, you've been going, you're still going. Gomez are releasing albums. You had your biggest, like, most successful album in the last 5 years or something, didn't you?
I don't know. No, not like that. But like, we came back, we wheeled it back out of the garage to do some gigs again to check if it's still, the motor still ran. We played the Albert Hall a couple of years ago. That was a bit
hard. That's not bad, is it?
Wow,
that was all right. I mean, I really don't do it full time these days. At the moment, I do music for TV and theater and stuff. I don't know if you watched a show called In My Skin recently, a lovely little Welsh drama, a comedy drama on the BBC. I did the music for that, and I'm writing a musical at the moment. Weird. It's weird the way the world works.
It is funny. We will talk about what you're here for, I promise. But it is weird thinking a lot of people, bands from the mid to late 90s had a lovely burst of success and then that was it, you know. But the fact that there's so many of them are not only still going but still making money, people still really keen to come out. The Royal Albert Hall, that's some gig, man. 20 odd years after your first album.
Yeah, we sold 5,000 tickets in 5 minutes.
Bloody hell.
What did it feel like standing on that stage when it was full?
You know, the Royal Albert Hall is the only gig I know of actually like this. There's probably others, but it's really curious because the audience are like so far away because it's like 5,000. There's like the people are like tiny little stick people at the far, like not even, can't really see them. And then because the audience comes right round to the side, they're sat next to you, like looking at you. So you have this weird thing of both playing like a really intimate show for like the woman who you can hear breathing there, and these people who are like waving their hands, these little figures waving their hands. So it was very different. It was very unusual because I often say that I find it harder to play little intimate gigs than I do to play big stages. In fact, when I'm on a big stage, I have no sense of the audience. I just feel it's ridiculous. It's just like...
It's a clump.
Yeah, it's just like, whatever, this is hilarious. And when you've got, if you've got it, sit two people down and sing a song to them. That is hard work, you know.
Well,
bearing that in mind...
That's what we brought you here, Proctor. the only thing I have that is no way in comparison, but the coolest thing I ever did, I used to work at Absolute Radio, and who, of course, helped out with the Teenage Cancer Trust gigs. I was asked, do you want to go and introduce... it wasn't Suede. It was this band that Suede did up. Do you want to go and introduce Suede on stage? And I went, I don't actually. No, they don't really mean much to me. So no. And so the boss went through the list and went, do you want to introduce The Who? Yes, I do. I got to introduce The Who at the Royal Albert Hall. Yeah. It was amazing. You know, that for me, wow, you know, what a buzz.
Yeah.
Anyway. At the tears. That was
did you see Daltrey just came to the good side of the force today? Did you see that? Because obviously Daltrey has just been Mr. Brexit.
Yeah. I saw that clip has been circulating on Twitter all afternoon of the, Cokes, we went to Europe before this all happened. Why is it going to affect us? Oh, he's had a bit of a climb down and actually put his name to something today, right?
I know, yeah, he has. Apparently somebody, someone told me it was some Lib Dem fella. Some old Lib Dem has sat him down and had a word with him.
Wow.
Curious, but there you go.
It's the old boss, same the new boss, same as the old boss. But so there are kind of two music stories. There is the European touring bands can't tour very easily now. Please, can we have a special permit? No, you can't.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then the thing that I saw that Fergal and you were tweeting about, and I know you've done a lot of work on this, is artists and bands and musicians not getting their kind of just desserts when it comes to payments. For
that's
recordings.
Right, yeah. That's so exactly right.
But has this not always been the way?
Yeah, so that, yeah, artists have always been ripped off. Yeah,
suck it up, Snowflake. Get used to it.
I know. Well, I know. I just thought I needed, basically, I was stuck at home last April and I needed a hobby, Ian. So I decided to take on the entire music industry.
Wow.
Nice.
So. Yeah, of course. It's always been, ever since, you know, the Drifters got 2% in 1958. The history of the record deal is one of exploitation of artists by no good business types, and the problem is that it was always very difficult to make money. But what you add streaming on top of a very inequitable record contract. And you end up with something that's really, really bad. Mm. Because back in the day, I say back in the day, God. Anyway, back in the day, we used to be able to sort of like sell a bunch of albums and then maybe, because all the money came up front, it would sort of pay off your debt to the labels. Whereas now, the debt you've got with the label is getting paid off by these tiny micro payments, like lots of little tiny, tiny amounts of money. Yet by the time you make a few hundred quid and you got to your next release, you've already got to get into more debt with your label to it's basically very few artists now are ever recouping at all their debts.
I remember, because I read about this, because I always assumed it was, for example, Spotify that was taking all the money. And actually, it's not, is it? Spotify take like a third or something.
They take 30%,
It's 30%. Yeah. And then it's the label that takes the majority of the rest of it. And it's the labels that aren't sharing it fairly with the artists. Mm-hmm.
That's true. I mean, look, everyone could take a haircut here. I'm not saying that that Spotify do, which is basically a shop window of data, deserves 30% of the money from all the music that we love. But that's what they take. Then 52% goes to the recording. And then about 12-15% goes to the songwriters.
And there might be loads of songwriters.
And of course, the amount of money that's going per stream to the record label is about £0.004.
Right.
So less than half a penny, closer to a third of a penny per stream.
Wow.
So up until recently, you've been able to make some money by going out on tour, right? We spoke to Dennis Lecourie and we said that's the way he makes the majority of the money that he makes.
Yeah, it kind of shifted from the 70s and 80s where you would make money selling albums.
Selling records, yeah.
I've got Dennis Le Courier's phone number in my phone as well.
So have we. Can you get a word in once you get him started? Because
I think he lives around here. I'm down in Brighton. I think he lives down
there. He does live down there. Yeah.
He's often lovely. Saying we should meet up for a cup of tea. COVID's gotten in the way.
When it's all over, he's so such lovely. A lovely bloke. Yeah. And the stories he can tell. And you won't have to say anything because you just wind him up and he just goes. This is a weird thing, going off on a tangent, because Dr. Hook were my mum's favourite.
Oh, yeah.
And now, years later, I'm friends with the singer, you know, the guy that sang Sylvia's Mother. I'm his mate. And it's the weirdest thing how these things
That's a beautiful thing, Ian. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing.
I love Dennis. But go on. So
revenue stream is out. Yeah. You know, completely out.
The industry collapsed with piracy at the beginning of the century, and then streaming came along and saved us all. But what's happened is streaming has gone into this period of hyper profitability in the past 5 years. That the major labels made $8 billion last year from streaming.
Wow,
ooh, that's a lot of money.
Bloody hell!
So it's gone into this period of hyper profitability at the exact same moment. You know, where we've just lost 80% of our incomes, right? Even Drake, the most streamed artist on the planet, makes 70% of his income from live and ancillary stuff he does, not from streaming. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? Imagine if it was Michael Jackson only made a third of his income from selling Thriller. That's just not how it worked back then. So we're in this really strange reversed model where the recorded music system is relying on the live music system to fund the artists. And we're supposed to accept that streaming is sort of this blending of a promotional tool, even though it's our work that's being consumed, right? So, you know, but it's a totally distinct industry, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the artistry and the people who work in studios and the people who engineer and the incredible expertise it takes to know how to make great records. We're starting to really lose that because the economics of streaming are leading us to a place where the only people who can make money from music are people by themselves with a laptop. And that is fine. And maybe that's the future of everything. But personally, I don't want to lose all the other kinds of music that there are in the world, right? I just don't want to lose that. So I'm like, is there something we can do to rebalance this so that I'm not saying everybody should get paid. I'm not saying every kid who wants to be a star should get some money. I'm just saying that if artists come along who are...
We can hear that. So unprofessional.
Who's that? Is that me?
I think so,
that's
yes.
That's really curious. I don't know why that started playing.
Spotify listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably my son in the back room. Although I don't know why he's listening to that. Anyway, so what I was going to say is, where was I? Oh, yes.
Go on.
I'm not saying everyone should get paid, yeah.
I'm not saying everyone should get paid. I'm saying that the kind of metrics of success that we know are real, i.e. an artist has a big committed audience. They have lots of fans who listen to their music. They are... even known, famous, right? Like on some level, why are these people not making money from their recorded music? What is going on? That's what I'm saying.
All right, what is the answer? Is there an answer?
Yeah, there is. There's a few different answers.
Go on.
Well, one of them, what I've asked the government for is something called equitable remuneration, or just a remuneration, right? Which is to say, there would be a small amount of money that would just go direct from Spotify to artists and performers and musicians, right? So that's exactly what happens with radio. When radio plays music, 50% goes to the artists and the performers, like the backing singers and the drummers and brass section, and 50% goes to the rights holders, the labels, right? Now, I don't know. I don't really mind what percentage of it we decide is remuneration for artists, but let's just say, hey, let's just kick some of this money out to musicians. At the moment, backing musicians don't get anything from streaming, not a penny. And of course, there's a lot of what's going on in streaming is like passive listening. It's more like the radio. It's more like algorithmic. It just picks music for you. It's not like a sale. you know, I haven't bought it. So why shouldn't it pay more like radio or pay more like a communication as it's known in copyright law, right? Mm. So I'm saying, well, why can't we just do that? And the government are kind of going, well, maybe we can. And what I'm saying to the industry is there's a model, right? In the moment, what happens is, this is quite complicated, but the way that streaming pays out is called the revenue share model. And it's right. all of the money from everybody's subscriptions divided by all of the streams. Now,
blimey,
right? Mm. And the problem with that is, what's happening is, hyper listeners, like people who listen to like loads and loads and loads of music, they are distributing everybody else's money.
Right?
So like one in every five people is distributing about 90% of the money in the whole system, right? So in your personal subscription, if you're a normal listener on Spotify, this is quite complicated to understand this.
That's what's making Catherine sneeze.
She gets I'm allergic to maths.
Yeah.
So if you listen to like 500 or 700 tracks a month on your Spotify account,
yeah,
only about £1.50 of your tenner goes to the music that you listen to.
Blimey.
Because it's, think about it, it's pro rata, 0.003p per track. 500 times that ain't a lot of money, right? So what happens to the rest of that money? It goes to other people's listening.
Flipping heck. I'm paying for everyone else to listen to their crap.
Those shits.
You are paying for everybody else to listen to their crap. And in fact, it turns out you're not paying for everybody to listen to their crap. You're paying for one in five people to basically leave Spotify on in the background all day.
Right. Right.
That's what you're doing. And there's an awful lot of fraudulent bots streaming music constantly that we know is happening. But guess what? There's a model. There's a system called user-centric, right? Where just your money goes to what you listen to. That's all that happens, right? And immediately you get rid of fraud.
It sounds beautiful. It sounds simple.
Why aren't they already doing
it? Well, because the people that are making the money, why would they want to take less money? That's, I guess, is the problem.
Well, it's
if they've got nothing to sell because people can't do it anymore, they're going to be stuffed, aren't they?
It's a very curious thing. It would also, here's the thing. What you've got at the moment is loads and loads and loads of artists who earn nothing or tiny amounts. And then at the very end, it just leaps up and there's like way less than 1% of artists who are making all of the cash, right? Mm. And what user-centric does is it gives you like a graph like that going straight up down the middle, because what happens is 4 out of 5 listeners are distributing 80% of the money instead of 1 out of 5, right? So suddenly all of these different weird and interesting listening tastes get a little bit of summit.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's all I'm talking about, because what I really want to protect is music as a profession, right? That's what I want. That's all I want to do. It's for the future. We need to future-proof music as a profession.
Retrain. That's what you need. That was kind of the message.
I just don't want to retrain. I really don't want
to. There are so many knock-ons to this, right? You make it an expensive profession or one where you need a certain amount of money behind you. That's where you end up with, you know, a certain kind of person is the only one who sees it as a possibility.
It's already happened. Like when I came through, obviously, you know, you can tell from my accent and where I'm from and everything, like, you know, my peers, we were all kind of lower middle class kids, some working class kids. You'd occasionally meet like a posh band from Oxford and you'd be like, whoa, they're a bit posh. but that's who we were. And now it's terrible to say, but when I meet a lot of kids who are doing okay in music, it's like banker mom and dad, home counties, like,
or they're related to someone in the industry already.
That isn't true, of course, of like the inner city black scene at music, and like it's like that is a real working class music scene. But like it's curious when you're looking at pop, who's going into it.
It's going through to the judges' houses.
But they already live there.
But also part of the problem is now we expect everything for free. Everything should be free. Music should be free. Podcasts should be free. Movies. Everything is supposed to be free because it's online. And we have lost, you know, we're on Twitch, and some people are very kind enough, they will subscribe to us. It's not really enough. We could do with more, but some people are kind enough. They like what we do and they buy into it. They give us a few quid each month. But generally, the internet has made everybody think, a lot of people think that things should be free. They don't realise the work that goes into making an album, to making a movie, to writing a book.
I think there's also a cultural thing, particularly in this country, whereby entertainment, popular entertainment rather than high entertainment, opera and stuff like that, is seen as, you know, you're stealing a living, so why should they, you know, you're lucky, so why should they pay for it? And they're listening to it in their free time, so you're obviously having a whale of a time, you're probably rolling it anyway, so why should they pay you anymore?
You see a band now, I show my age, you see a band on Top of the Pops, you think they're rich.
Yeah.
The most probably not, quite often Top of the Pops, but, you know, quite often they've got other jobs, and also they've been working 3, 4, 5, 10 years to get to that position. It's What can we do, Tom? Is there anything that we can do? Should we ditch Spotify?
No. I mean, I am. Can I swear?
Yeah, go on.
What I always say to people is it's not fuck Spotify. It's let's unfuck Spotify. Streaming's great. But I'm constantly saying this. It's really curious because there's loads of people in the industry who want to say that I keep saying that streaming's bad, and I don't. I keep going, no, streaming's fantastic. Streaming is all the music you could ever want in your back pocket. Why would anyone have a problem with that? It's wonderful. Here's the thing. People are paying for it. 150 million people are paying Spotify subscribers, right? That's the problem.
Let's make it fairer.
Yeah, let's just make it fairer. Look, and YouTube is a huge problem, right, for musicians. It's a massive, crazy problem that Google can claim that they're not, you know, the publisher because it's UGC, right? And so you're kind of in this situation where you're like, well, look, it's my stuff. You've put my, I've got friends with songwriters who've got hundreds of millions of plays of a video of one of their songs that they wrote for some pop star, and they get a check for a tenner. It's like that bad. So and it's Google, and you're going to go, well, Google, I'm sorry, but don't you make an awful lot of money, or am I just wrong about that? Are you not like the biggest corporation on the planet? Could you not just take responsibility and pay for this stuff? It's very funny because, you know, even these big global music licensing deals, which I'm involved in because I sit on the board of an organization called PRS, like, we're not talking crazy amounts of money compared to what Google make in order to pay people properly. We're really not. And that's what's so funny about it. It's a state of mind. Those big corporations just refuse to accept.
What can we do? I mean, on a micro scale, if there is an artist I like, I see if I can buy their stuff from their website first, as opposed to the Amazon or anything like that. If I want a physical copy, I'll go to their website. Even if you pay a couple of quid extra for it, it's worth it because you know it's going straight to them. But that ain't gonna solve anything. What can we do?
That's always a difficult question for me. I mean, I say to people, you know, there are great sites like Bandcamp where you can buy directly from the artist. You can buy downloads, you can buy physical copies. You can, if you're a huge fan, you can find out if they've got a direct site. A lot of artists now have Patreons and things like this in order to try and fund themselves. What I say to people is, you know, what I'm doing with here is what's curious about, or has been curious about my campaign, is that I'm engaging directly in politics, right? And people don't think that they can engage in politics, but they can. It's dead simple. All you have to do is get a piece of paper and write a letter to your local MP, and you just go, I'm pissed off about the way that British musicians are getting treated by these massive multinational companies. When are you going to do something about it? I love this stuff. I love music. When are you going to do something to protect these people? Not like the companies, these individuals who do this stuff, who are, let's be clear, musicians. There's 50,000 musicians in the UK. The median income is under £20,000 a year, right? This is a low wage sector. People need to just wake up. There's a big piece of data from the American US Endowment for the Arts, which basically shows that the people working in the arts who are most likely to have a second job are guess who, right? This is who we're talking about. It's like, just kick some money out to these people. Yeah. There's billions in this. There's billions. And if you can just find some segmentation of that, that you, we can start paying to musicians so they can buy themselves a bloody sandwich, then...
You and your bloody decadent sandwiches.
I know, I am a loser.
Two slices of bread, two.
Jesus Christ, Gomez, what is going... Tom, it's so lovely to talk to you. You sent me some links, which I'm going to post in the chat, and I'm going to tweet them out a little bit later so that people can kind of read up a little bit more about this, some of your tweets and some of the inquiry you were at, so they can look into this. And I know we get a lot of musicians and artists that kind of come and watch us, and we often raid musicians, you know, go to one of their streams at the end to get them an audience. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for chatting about this.
Pleasure. I mean, the campaign is pretty much run off of my Twitter feed, so find me on Twitter, Mr. Tom Gray. It's just me ranting, essentially. This entire this campaign has led to a parliamentary inquiry just from me being a dickhead.
Well, we've just got an angry old man from the car park on.
Unfortunately, that is essentially it.
Good for doing it. Well done. Didn't that sound patronising? Good for you.
Well done.
No, but genuinely well done, because, you know, one of the things that was kind of last year with cuts and everything was the arts don't count. Fuck me. When we're having a global pandemic, that's when the arts count the most. That's when you need it to escape this awful life that we're in.
I was
going to
say, do you remember that dickhead that phoned us up on the radio and told us that, well, maybe you should get a better job?
Maybe it's time to get
a proper
real job.
It's like, okay. Well.
This is when we need art. That's
a really dark irony of this situation. Is that when everyone's been locked in their houses, streaming has gone through the roof. Mm. And the value of Spotify has nearly doubled in 2 years.
Yeah.
So, it's just... This is why this is the moment to try and fix this, because it's like everybody's at home. All the musicians are stuck at home going, what am I going to do in my life? Do I give this up now? Is this the moment where, because you've got to remember, if you're a creator, you've got to have enough money in the bank. You've got to have enough capital to start again.
Mm.
And everyone's lost their little bit of capital that you need to have kept a bit back to get your band back into a rehearsal room in order to go and play a gig.
Mm.
So where's that money going to come from? There you go. There's a cheerful thought to end on. There we go.
Tom, it's so nice to see you. Very quickly, what's happening with Gomez? Is that on pause?
Mate, half the lads live in LA, so we meet up very, very rarely. I don't know. I reckon the thing is, you can't really split up with the lads you grew up with. So could try, but it would take an awful lot of effort, and their wives would be annoyed with me. So I don't think so. You'll probably see something of us at some point. Good. I dare say.
It's so nice to see you, Tom. Thanks for coming
on, Tom.
And you know, if you need to come on and let us know any more, please do.
Oh well, thank you very much for having me. It's lovely to see you, and take care.
See you later on.
Ta-ra.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
He said, Tom gave me some links. So this is, I'm just going to post these in the chat. First link is the Twitter thread that started it all. I might have done that wrong, actually. Is that the right? That's it. The next one is the inquiry that he spoke at. If you're interested in this, go and have a little look. And the third one is an interview that he did about the whole thing. If you're interested, go and have a little look. We got to play some advertisements because we're a little bit behind on those. It's interesting, isn't it? It is one of the things I am getting my head around with Twitch is and what we're seeing with people like Lenny Beige and Matt, you know, comedians and musicians and stuff, is how people who would perform live or sell records can't make money. And it's a really, you know, and you obviously, you know, lockdown is terrible for everybody. And there's so many people that are struggling to work or have lost jobs or whatever. But it affects everybody. It affects everybody. And we're not saying that these people are more important than, you know, people that work in a factory or in a shop, but not at all.
No, but it's British industry still.
Exactly. Exactly.
And British, what we're talking music. About, people's jobs. It's not a hobby. The other thing I found really interesting. Have a look at the thread that Tom put on that you retweeted on Twitter, because it's so interesting. There are so many strands to this. But he mentioned there that he's on the board of PRS, and PRS give licenses to venues, not just obvious music venues. Things like shops and stuff play PRS so that creators get a little bit of money. But of course, with the lockdown and not so many shops being open, that source of revenue's out as well.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. Thank you, Tom. That was lovely to meet you. Let's get a message. Let's give this person a call. Then we'll give Paul a call. And then we're going to play...
Person you're calling, person B, is on another line.
Just leave your message after the
tone. You can kiss my chuddies.
Call us back at your convenience. Bearing in mind that conversation we had with Pete earlier on.
Oh, hang on. Will, I'll call you back. We've just got a call coming
Will's
in.
Will's been tweeting. He's been watching.
Will, has he? Hello.
Yes.
Hello, Paul.
Ah, now here's someone else who's been musically affected.
There you go. But those who don't know, Paul is a musician, a timpanist. Is timpanist the right word?
Yeah.
Timpani man. He's a timpani man.
Timpani man.
Played in some of the finest, and let's be honest, some of the worst orchestras around the world. How you doing, Matt? You're not. Well, I mean, you've done some little side hustles, a little bit of radio and stuff, but you're not doing your career, your vocation.
A bit more complicated. The orchestra is still going. We're in the midst of digital season, so we go into work. Everything's socially distanced and sanitized and everything, and then we record performances which are released fortnightly.
Okay.
But we were supposed to be working this week, and that's all been postponed at the moment. We're due to start back in the second week of February, but because of these new strains and whatnot, we're risk assessing everything again, just to make sure that
Clarify, sorry, when Paul says these new strains, it's because he bangs the drum so hard he strains his lower back. It's a musical injury.
A serious question that sounds daft, but it should be the title of this show. The brass section.
Yeah.
Surely above the brass section, there's a whole big cloud of potential disease there because they're pushing it out. What extra special measures are taken there?
Well, I think in the original guidance that was published, the distancing was supposed to be 2 meters for, say, string players and someone like myself, where breathing isn't necessarily a thing. And I think it was at least 3 meters for brass players and possibly more for singers.
If you're going to give it a really good honk, surely maybe 5 or 6?
The issue surrounding noise, that's a thing that blew up a few years ago when... a former schoolmate of mine actually sued the Royal Opera House
he was going deaf. He damaged his ears. Did you know that? He'd been near the trumpets or something, hadn't he?
He'd been near the timpani.
Yeah, actually, that was 2016, and I remember that specifically because we were playing the same piece of music that he was claiming for. I went to school with him. He was a few years senior to me. Yes.
Wowzers.
I shall say no more at this point. Nudge. Okay.
And yet say so much.
Okay, he was a bit of a gonch. Okay, we've got it. Thank you very much indeed. What do you want?
Before, the thing you were talking about before, when Pete called up, and this also falls into yesterday. Two very powerful words, and I nearly called up yesterday to discuss it with you, but the vibe wasn't right.
Flange bucket.
More powerful than that.
They are very important words. They're very powerful words, but not the two words I had in mind. The two words were, and this is for anyone in the moment when they're feeling oppressed by whatever else, whatever external input is coming their way. Challenge any information that you receive with two words. So what?
Well, out loud, that might be quite rude.
You're talking about the awkward call yesterday with the guy who I worked with 20 years ago. And
he's done that, so what?
Seemed to have some sort of beef still, is my interpretation of it, just in case he's watching and sees it slightly differently. So what?
Yes. Ian, I would challenge you to challenge yourself with those two words surrounding, whatever details took place. We're talking about stuff that's done and dusted. you know, the Serenity Prayer speaks about, you know, that which we can gain.
So what feels a little
dismissive
and cold when perhaps there is an opportunity for some kind of understanding and
but that might be
peacemaking.
That might be the answer to so what.
But this is my point. The so what is for you. It's for you. It's not external, because you are the person who is having the reaction to that external input. So you're challenging yourself. What is the importance of me being right in this moment?
That I get. What is the,
you understand?
Yes, I get that, because far too often in my life it has been important, I have felt, for me to be right and to win. There you go. You see that it's already, it's a competition. And yep, that's one of the things I am realizing as I get older. I don't have to win. It's not always a competition. And I don't always have to convince the other person of my point of view. I know my point of view, and that's all right.
That reminds me of a conversation I had with a colleague who was going through marriage guidance, and he said one of the most important takeaways for him had been that thing of, do you want to get along, or do you want to win? So she's done this. Does she need to know about it? Or can you deal with it in a way that means that you can move forward? It's that whole thing of, do you have to be right?
Yeah. And at the end of the day,
and also, if you're right, but it grinds someone else down or destroys someone else's, I don't know, whatever it might be, is that really a win?
Mm. Is it all worth it?
You must be disappointed about your orchestra not being able to play.
Well, I'm still teaching. I was teaching today.
I'm building up to a funny line.
I'm sorry.
You must be disappointed about your orchestra not being able to play.
Mm, yes.
Man, the fuck up, Snowflake. Jesus, can't play with an orchestra and he's upset. Man, the fuck up, Snowflake.
Oh, thank you so much.
Paul, it's lovely to talk to you, mate. Thank you. Always give us a lot to think about. Thank you. So my favourite thing at the moment is, if someone, I was playing it with Matty and Ollie when we were playing Call of Duty, and you've got to do it with someone that you know, you've got to trust each other a lot.
And they've got to know that you don't flipping mean it.
Yeah, well, no, they do. And you've got, but someone saying, when we were playing a game where we would each say something, you know, sad or bad that had happened to us, and the other one would go, oh, just motherfuck up, Snowflake. it's some game. Let me get Will on. We've missed Will, friend of the show, Will Guyett.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Let me give. Oh, look, I muted that. I'm remembering to mute stuff.
Do you remember when we used to think he looked like Paul Scoynes? But now I think Paul Scoynes looks like him. I see Will Moore.
I don't even know who Paul Scoynes is anymore.
Did we imagine Paul Scoynes?
Who is Paul Scoynes?
Are you?
Who is Paul Scoynes? Get me Paul Scoynes.
Get me someone like Paul Scoynes.
Get me a younger Paul Scoynes.
Is currently unavailable.
Get me Will Guyett. Will Guyett's not answering.
Let's try this call, then we'll get Will Guyett. Hope he's calling from a... Oh, geez.
Person
he's talking to this guy.
He's on another line.
Just leave you a message off.
Right, here we go. Right, that's that
he's
person.
He's on the
other
line. He's on there now.
Hello?
Yo.
Yo, yo, yo. Bum rush the show.
Are you on Twitch?
Yeah, we're on Twitch. You're on Twitch.
Wait, what?
You're on Twitch.
No way.
Way. We're on Twitch, and you've just called my home phone number, and now we're all on Twitch.
So?
How you doing?
Wait, what do you mean?
Right, you dialed this number, right?
Yeah.
That you saw on Twitch.
One of my mates told it me, but like, what's your name on Twitch?
Oh, you've been stitched up.
Well, you're on Twitch now, and there are 1,527 people listening to you.
What? What's your name? Quick.
Ian Lee, Catherine Bott.
Quick, slower than that.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, hello.
I can see myself. Well, we can hear ourselves.
There we go. That's better. If you could see yourself, I'm thinking, gosh, okay.
That's not Twitch. That's a mirror.
That's. So who are you, man?
I'm Harrison. I live near Liverpool.
Okay.
How's things going, Harrison? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah? What are you up to this evening?
Nothing really. Just because I'm going to do my overlays and stuff on the Twitch channel. So.
Oh, hang on. Have you got a Twitch channel?
Yeah.
Are you streaming now?
No, not right now.
Who? What's your Twitch channel?
It's at Hazdean, H-A-Z-D-E-A-N.
B-E-A-N. H-A-Z-B-E-A-N. Right, let's go and have a look. Do you mind if we go and have a little look at your channel?
Yeah, it's... I'll put it in the chat as well.
All right, go on. I think I got it. Twitch.tv/Hazbean. Let's go and have a little look. I'm there, dude. Hazbean is offline.
No, he's talking to us.
I'm clicking follow. You haven't got any videos on there.
He's doing his overlays.
Oh, that was that. Okay. Hazdean. I've gone to Hazdean. I'm following the wrong person. I thought he said Hazbean.
Oh, Hazbean's just got a follow.
Hazbean's just got an unfollow. Let's go to Hazdean. Here we go.
What's up, boys?
What's up, boys? Let's play some... Right, I'm clicking on a follow there. Let's have a little look-see at this video. You see you're playing a bit of Fortnite. Are you a controller player?
No, I did a controller stream. Okay. Like a little bit.
Would you say you're a sweat?
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay. When my boys tell me what a sweat means, I'll know if that's good or bad, but... I just know that they say, "Oh, that player's a sweat." Let's have a little look. Let's have a look at Hazdean's playing a little bit of Fortas. Here we go. Let's see.
Fortas.
That's
so down with the kids.
Hang on a minute. Why can't we hear anything? Why can't? Do you talk on your stream? Here we go.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yes, man.
There are 1,513 people watching your stream. Hazdean.
Everyone, go and follow Hazdean. He seems like a nice young person.
Oh my gosh!
There we go. Let's jump forward a little bit. Do you thank the bus driver, or you not bother anymore?
Yeah, I do.
It's polite to thank the bus. Always thank the bus driver. It's polite and it brings you luck.
Yeah.
You need a Well, maybe you don't. I don't know. But a face cam would be good.
I've got a face cam sometimes.
Sometimes, okay. Well, I've just clicked follow. Let me put the link in the chat. If anyone else wants to go and have a little follow of Hazdean, then please do.
Just put on about 100 more viewers while we've been watching you, Hazdean.
Hey, maybe we should get you streaming on us. And you've got 53 followers now. Well, I wish you the best of luck, man. Do you enjoy streaming?
Yeah, it's really good.
Good. It's good fun when it works. All right, man, thank you for that.
All right, thank you.
See you later on. Ta-ra. There we go. Let's try Will Guy. Ah, what a nice lad. Yeah, let's get those followers up if we can.
Also, I love the fact that his friends thought they were stitching him up, and what they've done is actually brought him some more followers.
They promoted his channel. Here we go.
Do you realise... Hello.
Hello.
Do you realise I'm answering this from the bath?
Oh God!
It could have been one worse, but it's still pretty.
At least put a flannel over it.
Hang on, did you? You called us 3 minutes ago, Will Guyatt. Did you call us from the bath, or just as you were getting in?
I called you 7 minutes ago from the shed. I was busy working.
Shed.
And then I finished in the shed, and now I'm in the bath. No, there was no reason to have a bath as a result of being in the shed. It's just that time of the evening where you have a nice bath before you go and watch some YouTube.
Just that time of the year
when
I like to have a little bath and get ready for the oncoming lockdown. How you doing, man? You all right?
Your previous guest, the only reason I got involved was instant interaction. I thought your guest was amazing. And then I was even more surprised to find out he was from a band I loved when I was at university. Gomez were great.
Yeah, Gomez still are great. They're brilliant. They've been releasing albums recently, and it was fascinating. And perhaps a little drier than the stuff that we would normally do on this show, because this show is silly and it's fun. But I thought it was really important that this is being overlooked by so many people, and we all listen to music.
And that's the point, actually. This show often will use music to sort of lift a vibe, or we'll say, oh, we heard this amazing thing. We love music. We really, really love it. And this threatens it.
And
the industry as we know it.
Let's also face, who else would be doing that at this time of the evening now on any radio station? You are officially the home of free speech.
Shut up.
So,
and that's why I want to cut up my masks and tell people to. Do you remember that mask thing? Anyway,
thank you, Will. Listen,
when is you've got a, and I know you're not on to plug this, but I don't know when it launches. You've got a podcast, haven't you, coming soon?
No. Well, in more interesting affairs, the cat is now upstairs and is meowing and is about to come into the bathroom. This could get even more interesting in a moment. And good job,
my cats are perverts, aren't they?
My cats walk around. I've had three cats walking around the edge of the bath while I've been in there, and I've got to be honest, Will, it gets me so horny.
Oh my God.
This is our cat Jeff, who is actually a girl because I clearly couldn't tell the difference between a boy cat and a girl cat. But Tech Hole, my podcast. And nothing related to bathtubs again, is launching in February. You'll be able to get it on all good podcast platforms and some bad ones. And I'm really pleased that you and Kath are going to submit some items into the Tech Hole, the stuff you really don't want.
We want to come on. We think you're so fab and you've been so generous to us with your time and with I'm going to be honest, with gifts. So we can be bribed really, really easily, can't we, Catherine?
Sure, yeah.
But we think you're brilliant. We want to come on. Well, you must come on here when it's about to launch and give us all the links and stuff
and tell us what we need to know. And we've got all variety of people from all different places. So I'm calling people from all different radio stations and people that I've come into contact with over the years. And it's going to be a really good listen. I wanted to do a podcast for ages, and I was kind of... I guess inspired a little bit by you guys because you're trailblazers. Absolutely.
I just had the image of you in the bath there and I can see the pee. Oh no. Goodbye, Will. We'll speak to you soon. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Don't forget to wash that though.
You have been listening to a Rabbit Hole production. Boing!
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.